I told this guy where I was from. He said, oh, Canada. Kind of laughed it off. It was funny, huh?
Hi, I'm Dane St. Clair from Minnesota United and the Canadian men's national team, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
So, Joe, yesterday, trying to figure out what all the hubbubaloo was about, the Leafs beat the Florida Panthers. I think the Knicks won. Is that what everyone's so excited about?
Yeah, and Duke and North Carolina are going to play in the national semifinal.
Yeah, right. It's got to be, something like that, right?
That's it. Nothing else really happened. So it's kind of a slow week.
Yeah, it's pretty slow. Something coming up in November that for the first time, well, the second time, but the first time you're really paying attention, we have some skin in the game, Joe.
Yeah, amazing day. Culmination of a fantastic journey, right? Fantastic ride, if you will. So yeah, where were you when, right? So,
yeah, exactly. That's what they were saying on the broadcast. It's a where were you when moment, and couldn't be prouder of the team. It looks like the Canadian Federation, the Canadian Soccer Association has finally got it together. The women's team is amazing. The men's team's amazing. So it looks like they finally got it together, Joe.
I think credit to everybody involved when you have an undertaking like this. Well, first, let's start with John Herdman. I think John Herdman does deserve, you know, the kudos for what he has done and who he's brought together. And when we say John Herdman, we mean and staff. So I think we were one of the few entities out there that we acknowledge what a huge undertaking this is. And I know everyone's been saying, so let's start with the immediate staff and people putting stuff together. And let's not forget putting stuff together during a pandemic too. So all those people behind the scenes, you know, that's, we don't know all of your names, but you know, I'm sure John Herdman has thanked you and so on, because that's all part of it. The fans, the support, whether you were at the stadiums, because you know, we weren't there yesterday, unfortunately, but we were there against Panama. For that great Alphonso Davies moment. I think maybe that's why, Reggie, we feel, you know, that we're proud to be part of that, because I really believe that was the fire starter to getting us over the hump. That wasn't the, you know what I mean? I thought that was like, wow, that was the one that, you know. So I'm the staff, amazing. The players, the coaches, everybody involved. We said this a while back, how if you've played in this country at whatever level, if you've, you know, volunteered, if you've coached, you know, for me, that's kind of both, you know, Reggie, you know, was a far better player than I was and was, you know, maybe if it was today, maybe there on the field in the same ilk of a, you know, Daniil Henry, Kamal Miller, you know, Alistair Johnson, like whatever, because Reggie's a defender. So if you've done anything in this game and been part of it, I think I was a bit emotional. I'm not going to lie. I was, you know, watching my son play, and I was like, I got a little bit like, oof. Like, I made sure we shared the moment with him. He was actually playing another sport. You know, we got off the rink, out of the rink, and, you know, we watched it in the car. So I just, you know, everyone's saying their own moment. We've said this on other podcasts and other, you know, shows. We couldn't be prouder of all of those guys, and to, you know, the culmination of all that work has made all of us in Canada soccer fans, old and new, right? Old and new, proud.
I'm glad you mentioned the staff that you don't see on the field. Even some of the assistant coaches, the trainers that work with these players every day to get them ready and prepared to play in these games. It's not easy. It's not easy being a fan standing in that cold weather. It's, believe it or not, it's even tougher to play in. And I know you say, oh, but you're running around. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, your body cools down quicker in those temperatures, and muscles seize and things snap. And I mean, just the trainers and everybody that's involved in getting these guys ready to play three games in, what was it, 7 days or whatever it is? It's amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing culmination of everybody pulling their own weight. you just mentioned back in the day, and it's Joel. I remember back in the day, and we would sit there and talk about Canada going to qualify for the World Cup. We're going into the stages to qualify for the World Cup, and we just look at each other and go, "That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
No,
it's impossible. We're not going to go." And we play a couple of good games, and you get excited, and you lose 8-1 somewhere, and it's over. And it's just like, we're never going to make the World Cup. Soccer was an afterthought in most people's minds in this country, not the people that actually played soccer or were involved, but it was a hockey country. And it slowly, you start to see more clubs pop up. You see more kids playing. Suddenly, the MLS comes here, and now people are going to see Toronto, and there's an avenue now. More USA coaches are now coming to Canada to see if we can get players from there, and more Canadian players are going there. And it's a testament to the showcases that you put on and inviting those coaches. I'm sure those coaches look forward to coming here to find the next star that they can bring to their school. For those of you that are just new to watching Canada soccer, it was never like this. It was never, ever, ever like this. And it's just so great to see.
Yeah. Reggie, the parallels between, and I think that was well said, the parallels between Canada soccer and basketball in this country are very similar. I mean, the Raptors came in what, 1995? Mm-hmm. People like young people are growing up now looking at, hundreds of players playing in March Madness, players playing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. Getting drafted in the top five lottery picks, they couldn't fathom a world where it wasn't possible. Prep schools and prep environments and, American colleges, looking at, our basketball players. Well, the Raptors had a lot to do with that, of course.
Right.
Well, like you said, 2007, Toronto FC comes around, and we start to believe, could we actually be having a place to play? Oh, TFC Academy, oh, this and that, all this stuff. CPL
comes.
Right. Yeah. So this is, the work is the work, as I quote a lot of coaches and stuff, and you plant the seed and it's there. We always knew that there was talent here. We always knew that we always used to say that, players who played here, and I know same with Reggie when, playing, for me going to playing in tournaments in the States, Reggie playing in the States as part of, Division I program, I know going traveling internationally to play, same thing. I mean, in international, like youth tournaments, if you will, maybe not necessarily for national teams, but still you'd say, man, we can play with these guys, but where do they go after?
Right.
So this is for everyone. We said it on the last show. It is for everyone. Not only for, and I thought it was great to see D-Roll, the Guzmans, Craig Forrest, who just always for me, with all due respect to all these guys, Paul Stalteri was on the field. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys. I'm going to miss a lot of you. And thank
John
you
Catliff
to a lot of you.
There, I believe John Catliff.
Yeah, imagine, right? And Dolan and guys like that. So, what I'm saying is, for them too, because they laid foundations. Maybe it just wasn't right, and the times weren't right for them, and the climate wasn't right to make it happen there. It came true. So we always said that there was players here. We always said that, and people thought we were just saying it. And not just us on the show, but a lot of our people we associate with, and so on. We always said that there's talent here, and so on. And to do this, how about this, Reggie? For me, what stood out with this group, and not only just, I think what is here now, is that we're the protagonists. We are not just playing not to lose. We are not just playing, with an inferiority complex. We are playing to be on the front foot. The game yesterday speaks for itself. That team came out, the Canadian men came out. They wanted to punch their ticket. They didn't want to back in, and they did. They went right in. They barged through the front door. But for me, it was the Costa Rica game.
Yes.
Because, Reggie, in 10 men, and they picked up, their teammate, Mark Anthony Kay,
Yeah.
Who, you know, first of all, as always, just absolute garbage and utter bull, you know, bull crap. And, you know, that he had to deal with online, you know, racial abuse. It's just disgusting. So I'm not getting on a high horse. I'm just saying that's absolute garbage. So we love you, Mark Anthony. You know, so I'm even happier for him, obviously, having a little bit of a personal connection. But that's garbage. No place for it ever, never. So for them in Costa Rica to go down to 10 men, Reggie, and to what? Hang in? Oh, to get a few chances? No, to flat out dominate the game in 10 men. Let's be honest.
Joe, Costa Rica had 11 guys in the box.
At one point
in the game, they had 11. All 11 were in the box. Yeah. Joe,
like Keylor Navas is, you know, a Champions League, multiple Champions League winner, a World Cup goalkeeper. Let's not forget, you know, Costa Rica. You know, somebody was saying on the radio today, you know, Costa Rica, as I remember and I recall, my friends, came out of a group in 2014 in the World Cup with Uruguay, Italy, and England. So. Yeah. I, you know, this is, and to go there on the front foot, being in 10 men in San Jose,
they should have won, Joe.
They really should have won. And I think that's why I was so nervous for yesterday. Not nervous in terms of, I thought we'd get a result, but I really wanted them to get it done and not wait for, you know, get it done. And they did more than that. Yeah. They did more than that. And I mean, the images speak for themselves. The fans in the stadium were incredible. You know, even if we weren't there, we were there, you know, like our hearts were there. Like we were, this is an incredible thing. So for me, that Costa Rica thing stands out. It says, wow, we're not just here to, you know, punch our, you know, to just, you know, take a number here. They came and they were playing, and the hunger that I've seen with this team, a togetherness, again, back to John Herdman, who deserves it because he created a belief. I think, like everybody, I think, you know, I've said this for years. I know you've heard me say it. You know, Jonathan Osorio is the most unsung guy.
Joe, I was just telling someone the other day, you know, I used to, that guy couldn't get off TFC fast enough for me. I mean, now it's just like he has to be, even on TFC, even on the Canadian men's national team, he's got to be the second name on the sheet. And the first one's Alfonso Davies. It's got to be.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know me, I've always had a soft spot for him. Because I think what Oso has done is he epitomizes what the Canadian men's national team strive to be and is. And what hopefully will be. Mm-hmm. He had a chance. He's done nothing but take his chance. He made a sacrifice, a massive sacrifice in his life and his family to go to Uruguay with his good pal, Lucas Cavallini. And he sees the moment there in a great situation in Uruguay. He came back here. He wanted to play closer to home. He took his chance. And many people don't know where he started. With Toronto FC, with the academy that was just like a token, you know, spot. And, you know, we talked notably about him playing for, you know, Patrice Geyser and Carmen Osako at SC Toronto. And I do believe Marco Aletta was there too, former Canadian men's national team player, TFC player. So he put in his dues here. And then he continued, and he put his head down, and he worked, and he got into the TFC, and then look what he became. Nothing short of a TFC legend. Nothing. And I was sitting, and I'm a season ticket holder, and I sit there, and I had to defend him a lot of times, and a few of us in our section, saying, yeah, you know what, guys, if he was, you know, from the United States, or if he was from, you know, Mexico, wouldn't he be given more of a chance?
Yeah.
So good for John, good for Oso, because he's the, you know what he is to me, Reggie? He's a leader. We know that. He's a leader. He's a consummate professional. You know, he had that little incident with former national team coach who was here before, you know, and you know, it was passion. And also will tell you, you know, he didn't want to come off, you know, and good for him. He epitomizes for me all these guys. I mean, how how many stories, Reggie, are there? I mean, there's just so many. Like, so,
and there's one that one of the interviewers last night got out of who for me is probably one of the best midfielders we've had in this country on our national team in a very, very, very long time. And Steven Eustáquio, he came out and said it was the best decision he ever made was to choose Canada over. I guess he could have played in Portugal because I think he was born there. And he said the best decision I made was to play for this to pick Canada to play my national soccer for. And him and Osorio together in the midfield, Joe, they were incredible yesterday.
Yeah, they did a great job. And Steven Eustáquio has been the man, the plus one. Like he's just, you know, I mean, yeah, a kid who was, yes, okay, typically he was born here, but went to Portugal pretty young, right? Basically grew up in Portugal and says, if you, in the same interview, like he said, right, Reggie, he said, it's the best decision he ever made to play for Canada, even if we didn't make the World Cup. And that is saying something. And, yeah. And you know, guys, he's playing at, Porto, FC Porto in Portugal, playing in the Champions League, playing in Europa League. This is a great thing. We're talking about the midfield and where guys played, and I know yesterday and against Costa Rica played elsewhere. You know, this Atiba Hutchinson deserves a lot of credit. Yeah. I think Atiba Hutchinson, for what he has been through, he was in CONCACAF rock bottom hell.
Yeah.
You know, with an 8-1 drubbing, like for him to come back to that same stadium and score a goal. I know, a crazy goal, mm-hmm. but the point is to be on the winning side of a score line, or sorry, on the winning, side from, in a place where he had, like I said, went through his international kind of soccer hell and what he's done and being if I talk about also being a consummate professional, I mean, it's what, tenfold for Atiba. Playing in Europe and playing in Champions League and just a consummate professional and a great leader. You could tell how respected Atiba is on this team. It was great to see a Canadian team not just hang on. They at every position, every person on that team, you could tell a togetherness. But yeah, Atiba, 39 years old, Reggie, 39 years old is, it's pretty amazing. And, and the respect that he has from his teammates is really amazing to see. It was mm-hmm. special to see. I mean, Milan Borjan, what an epitome of, a Canadian, a Canadian who's, his family came here from another place and how much he has, embraced it. And listen, it's not an understatement to say that we dreamed of this. I said this on a previous show.
Yeah.
We could never dream of it, though. Meaning we didn't think it was possible.
No.
I'm just happy. Right, Reggie? I'm happy. I'm always looking, I'm looking ahead and I'm saying, this gives our kids belief. It gives our kids belief. The Alphonso Davies and Jonathan Davids and all these names, lots of names, who are playing in big major clubs and big environments, that's already belief. But to go to the World Cup, to wear the Canada jerseys, I tell you, it was extra special. Like watching it with my sons, that they, this is, I'm not saying they'd be on the national team, but I'm saying kids their age can dream about it. Whereas before, it was quickly shut down. We no one, even if you were the best player in this country, youth player, you didn't fathom for one millisecond that you could play
in the World
Cup. Not just for your country, because that could happen, but be in the mix to play in the World Cup. Like this is, we can't state that even, I would say, more, right?
We were just Gold Cupping it, Joe. Gold Cup.
Gold Cup, right?
We might have a possibility, but then we got to play the U.S. and Mexico, and we're never going to beat those guys, so forget it.
Yeah, and Reggie, it's funny you mentioned the Gold Cup. I remember the loss against Haiti in the Gold Cup, and mm-hmm. I thought, and then Herdman, we were making so many strides and doing it, and then oh man, you know, like here we go. We thought we were onto something, right? Mm-hmm. And to his credit, John Herdman, you know, basically said, hey, believe in the journey, you know, believe in the process. And I'm going to say, you know, many people were like, wow, John Herdman. I was one of those guys going, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, a bad manager, but like, is he going to like, really, like, is this the moment for him? And yeah, if you're going to doubt somebody, and you have to praise them, and he deserves a ton of praise, and we've given it to John Herdman. So, and we thank John Herdman because the culture he's created here is incredible. The players bought in and have bought in. And I think everyone's saying this, but this group is adults. They're not just satisfied with going, you know, they're not just satisfied with going. I am not making any prediction of how they're going to get through this. I'm just saying that I know that this group will give it all. And we all can say that, right? And you know, we've on this show, we've always talked about Alistair Johnston, Jamal Miller, Dane Sinclair, and all these names. And so we've had these guys on. And they wanted to do this. Images that stood out for me, Reggie, I'm going to get to mine. Is there something when you were watching the broadcast or the, you know, the celebrations, is there a couple of things that stood out that said wow to you, like the?
Well, maybe not so much the whole game, wow, but not so much one thing. But I thought Herdman sending on T-Bow Hutchinson and Borean running to half field to put the captain's armband on him was, it's a little thing like that that I look at that, and that's like you were talking about the respect that you get. It's not handed off to, I could have handed it off to Donnell Henry to hand it to someone to get it to him. He ran to half to put it on his arm. So yeah, just stuff like that, that, you know,
shows the unity of this team.
Exactly.
Right?
And just what him as a player means. He didn't start. He actually told Herdman not to start him. He brought him on in the 62nd minute, and you know, just the respect that these guys have for him. It was a nice touch. It was nice to see. So that's what stood out for me.
Yeah.
And the score.
Yeah, of course. I think that was a major moment because, like I said earlier, these guys love Atiba and they really respect him. Okay, for me, the personal thing was obviously, you know where I'm going to go with this. I was so thrilled that Dane got called into the camp.
Yeah.
And not because he's a passenger, because, you know, I mean, I've been saying this forever, and I hope that this gets quoted on and we really emphasize it. Dane Sinclair will be remembered as Canada's best goalkeeper. I'm telling you this, and this is all due respect to an amazing guy. I would, like, put it this way, I would love to have a beer with Miralem Borean. I mean, how fun would that be? That guy's a great guy. He's incredible. No, he really is an incredible person. I really love Miralem Borean. He just, everything about him is so amazing. You mentioned his moment, but I'm saying because of Miralem Borean, because of these guys, a guy like Dane Sinclair, like, it was nice to see Dane get called in because he earned it with what he was doing in Minnesota. It was great to see him in that. Alistair, you know, and Kamal, obviously, you know, I had a little bit of a personal connection with those three guys in particular. And to see Kamal after at center field, take the flag, and, you know, he was jumping around like a little kid, right? Yeah. Like, that's incredible. And let's put it in perspective, you know, all three, I had a very lucky to have a small part in, you know, not helping them. I mean, like, you know, I was on the bench when they were playing for me. It was pretty cool, right? Yeah. And I thank Carmen Sacco and Patrice Geiser for giving me the opportunity just to, you know, work with those guys here and there. It was great, okay? But on that same field, you know, I was sitting with not many people in the first League One Ontario game, final. Mm-hmm. And Vaughn, right? And Bobby from Forge, Samir Niotis, was coaching Sigma. Patrice Geiser was coaching Vaughn Soccer Club. Those two teams are playing in the first ever League One Ontario final. And we had Dane Sinclair in net as a 17-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kamal Miller also as a 16 or 17. I think Dane is their 16. And that's pretty cool that they played in that game. Right, they played in that game and in that field. And then fast forward, Reggie, what, 8 years later, yep. 7 years later?
Yeah.
And on that same field, they, and again, they won that game with all due respect to, it was a great game with Sigma, Sigma Vaughn, you know, Richie, how about some shout out to love for Sigma? How about Richie Larea? How about Kyle Laren? Mm-hmm. How about Tayshaun Buchanan?
Right.
You know, hey, there was a lot of Sigma on that field yesterday. A lot of Vaughn, there's a lot of Sigma. So, and a lot of clubs, guys, a lot of clubs. I'm just giving you my personal thing. And now to fast forward, and there those guys were. And again, Kyle Laren and Richie Larea were off doing their thing at Akron and UConn, respectively. So, you know, they were kind of busy, right? Or, you know, doing anything. So, for me, that was pretty special to see Kamal like a little kid with that flag jumping up and down, Reggie. And again, I saw Ali do some stuff, and a lot of the guys, you know, also the drum was incredible. Yep. But just watching Kamal remove himself, and, you know, we have a personal connection with him on the show, right? And those guys, and jumping up and down, like he looked like what, Reggie? Like a kid on Halloween.
That's it, man.
You know, on Christmas morning. So I'm going to be honest. I always said those guys did it for all of us, right? All of us Canadians for sure. But if you put on a pair of cleats and you played and you ever dreamed of that, because I did dream of that. Like, I know you did. I know you have. And sure. To make this a reality, I said it last time. Thank you to every single person involved, because this is a massive moment that I hope that we can recreate. I mean, look, we're going to be in two World Cups in a row.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Well, people were saying, like, before the qualifying even took place and – you know, when we're beating Martinique or whatever, 7-0, just be happy that the next World Cup's in Canada, because you'll make that one. And it was just like,
that's right.
Because, you know, when it comes, it's going to come down to Panama or Costa Rica, you know, the USA and Mexico, they're locks to make it. And you're not going to, and to finish on top of the group, Joe, on top of the group, to lose, the only game we lost was a game we were down to 10 for what, 80 minutes? And we still should have won.
Yeah, I agree. It's nothing short of incredible. I mean, you know, to go, I don't know, to beat Mexico, to tie them in Azteca, like, you know, to beat the USA. And I don't know, it's just belief, you know. And I think we, listen, I don't care if we make the next World Cup after the 2026 and, you know, we finish third in the group. I don't care. I mean, Mexico and USA are good teams, you know, but guess what? So are we.
Yeah.
You know, so are we. So, the sustainability thing is you can't be sustainable. You can't do it three times if you don't do it once, right?
Right.
So they needed – I think this one was massive because – and to be, again, back to John Herdman's leadership and the group and, you know, and everybody involved – They said, why not 2022? Everyone's telling us 2026. Yep. Why not 2022? And you're right, Reggie. Like cycle begins. I didn't know. I said, you know, this would be nice if we, you know, get close, do well, you know, and get to.
I remember
to a spot. Yeah,
I remember car ride home.
I said that. I said it would be tough. I said it would be tough. And Reggie, yeah, I already gave you credit for this. Reggie was said, no, we're gonna win the. Win the region, and we're gonna be top. And I thought that's amazing because, you know, I just thought USA Mexico, that tradition and so on. And again, I gave Canada more than a chance, but Reggie gave him the chance, and that's for sure, no doubt. And you know, credit to you, Reggie. I call it even. You know, so I think it. And me and Lucas Sirianni were just, of course, believing in the group. Reggie believed in the most. I'm gonna be honest with that. Reggie believed in the most. It's awesome. It was just, I guess it's the coach in us. It's always cautious, right? It's just,
well, yeah, let's make sure. I know. I said that and I was just like, well, I believe it, but I don't know. I don't know what could happen.
No, but and again, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
No, to be fair, Reggie, this is, why not? And they did. Like, they did. And as it went on, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what we thought we could be. And I don't know. It's just something that, the whole soccer community has looked at this team and you're right. And you know, like, this is not a time to, yeah, but there's no, yeah, but
no.
This is Team Canada that with one game left can secure your top spot in the, never mind worrying about qualification. What are we talking about now? We're talking about Friday, April 1st, which is the World Cup draw. Mm-hmm. And where are we going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I told you 2 years ago, would you care? I don't care where I'm going to be. We're going to be in the World Cup. That's what we said. Oh my God. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. So look how the goals have changed. So is there a player, Reggie, that stood out for you throughout this cycle that you thought really impressed you, and maybe, and not including Alphonso Davies and not including our Kyle Ahrens or Jonathan David or, you know, Atiba's or something. Is there something you mentioned, Estakio? I think that was a great find. No, again, it. There's the Herdman thing.
That's it.
It's Estakio.
That's it, man. There was a play yesterday, and you know how fast the camera moves. He made a telling pass at the top of Jamaica's 18-yard box. And within the time the camera panned down the field for a Jamaica counter, he won the tackle on our 18-yard box. He was the guy who won the tackle.
Really good.
That's box to box. He's technical. And I just feel like when he's not there, we're kind of missing something a little bit. Like, he didn't play against the United States, and I know we still beat them, but I mean, I think it would have been a little bit easier if he was in there. So for me, it's number seven.
So I can go down the list. I agree with you, Reggie. That's something that's for sure. How can you argue with that? For me, there's one guy too that really in the last four or five games that really has solidified himself. And I think, wow, this guy. There's so many, by the way. But just,
yeah, all of them.
You know, maybe some. Sam Adekubi been. Something a little different. I thought, you know, we have so many good players on this group, but Sam Adekubi for me really has, maybe as a guy. I mean, if you remember Reggie, he came on in the game against Panama, right? I thought he did a really good job there. Mm-hmm. I think he came on, did he, Reg? Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, there was a few games where he came on and I thought, wow, this guy's really giving us something more with a team that, you know, has in wide areas. Huh. Yeah, that guy from Bayern Munich. Dejan Buchanan, you know, Richie Larea, who, by the way, is just balling. You know, hopefully get some more time with Nottingham Forest, because Richie was just special again.
Yeah, he was playing well without even having played in 3 months?
He's done fantastic. And also, I got to say, Junior Hoylett, Reg, he gives a lit that you can tell been there, done that, right?
Yeah.
Played at a pretty high level in England.
Classy. Slows the game right down, you know?
Yeah. And with telling passes,
yes,
can still beat you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, dare I say, I haven't seen this for a long time. If I were TFC,
wow.
am I not, like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe he wants to stay in England. I don't know, but that's a move that they should be looking at.
I got a take for another day, and we'll compare him to someone else who's coming. Yeah, we'll talk about it, but, you know, I just think the list goes on and on and on of these guys, you know, Larens, Tejan Buchanan, you know, all of these guys, Alistair Johnston, you know, Kennedy's coming, like the list goes on. I'm just going to say all of you, you know, for me though, Adekubi is something, I don't know. I'm surprised. I know he's a good player, but I just like his performances, you know, as well as all of them. But the celebration for me for that and the credit that they deserve is monumentous. I love that we are making new fans. I'm not one of these guys who says, "Well, where were you?" I'm like, you know what, Reggie? This is what we want. We want to grow the game.
Right.
We want new fans. We just want you to stay with us, of course. But this is, again, I couldn't be more proud to be involved as a fan. I'm not saying like involved meaning, you know, because you don't have to be. If you're watching and you're following, that's what involved is for me. That's involved enough, you know. Am I extra happy for the few guys that maybe, you know, I've, you know, encountered in these guys? Yeah, for sure. I thought that was really nice to see. And I tell the young players all the time, these guys were doing this on fields just like you. You know, and I'll never forget the night we were at a local field here in Vaughan at McNaughton, and all the guys know, you know, about that, and Kamals and Danes and Alistair talked about that field on this show. And I remember Kamal getting ready for the under-20s with our good friend also, who's on the show, Emmanuel Zambassas. Deion Harris was also part of that, who's now playing with Tampa Bay Rowdies as well. And they were getting ready, and they were doing sprints the night before. You know, and I thought, look at these guys. We turned the car, the headlights on, because it was after 11, and they were still putting in work. And I thought, you know, hey, this is pretty cool. They're going for the U-20s. And now, you know, two of them are part of such a historic moment for our country and for our club. I just think it's amazing for our nation. I think it's some of these things, and there's so many stories like this, but it was a celebration yesterday. And it wasn't just yesterday, like you said, Reggie. It was the culmination of the cycle. They made us believe. And my messaging to those guys, and I was going back and forth with them, is just thank you. I think that's so important to say thanks. Thanks to these guys. They know how much it means to a lot of us, to most of us. And I think that's a cool thing, too. I think that's a really amazing thing. Okay, so Reggie, what are you looking forward to in terms of who do you want Canada to play
Doesn't matter.
No. Yeah, I thought you might say you might want to see them play, maybe Ghana or Brazil, because I know,
If Ghana can make it, they have a game tomorrow, which is nerve-wracking in itself, but whatever. My team's already in it, so whatever. I just have to
hear Canada's in it.
My parents.
Yeah, Canada's in it, so that's good. We're both happy. But, our place of heritage, and obviously we know what happened to Italy. But that's for another day.
What happened?
Yeah, not much. Mm. Literally not much. But congratulations to North Macedonia. it's true. Absolutely. Congratulations. But we will talk about, because, the final rounds, I guess, Reggie, of qualifying happened. This Thursday, right? Tuesday. So yeah, meeting so tomorrow. Yeah. This week, and the draw will be the World Cup draw. The World Cup 2022 draw will happen on Friday. So that's why we're saying, who do you want Canada to play? So Reggie, so it doesn't matter for Reggie.
It doesn't matter.
I would love to see Canada play, on Argentina. I would love to see Canada maybe play France, just like it was in 86, So I would like to see that. Obviously, Brazil, any one of the massive nations would be cool. Classic powers, I think, would be amazing. But yeah, it doesn't really matter who they play. But
Why do you want to see them play those teams? Just to see exactly where we're at, or just for a spectacle that the guys can learn a little bit from playing against world class like that?
I think all of it. I mean, you want to go to the World Cup and play the best, And I think why not? Why not? Let's measure yourself. And I think it would be great. I think it'd be great for the young players, for any player.
Yeah.
I just thought it'd be cool. Imagine lining up against Ronaldo in Portugal, lining up against Messi, Mbappe, and France, and on. Anybody, Brazil. I mean, Brazil is such a, all these teams, anyone. I mean, any match in the World Cup is incredible. It's going to be emotional. Yep. It's going to be, full of energy. It doesn't matter who they play. You are right. Just, if you're playing, just, let's see. How about this? Let's talk about this more. Players making the squad. Now that becomes something too, right?
Well, Joe, I was looking while the game, I think halftime, I was on my phone, I was looking, and I looked up Tomori. Okay.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, hang on, Joe. Hang on.
No, I think England messed anyway. Yeah.
Well, I should have done. You know what? I'm not going to say anything because I didn't do my research. But from what I was reading, he will be able to change associations the week before the World Cup starts. You have 3 years to play games after being called up for your first cap, and he hasn't played within those 3 years. So he's allowed to switch nationalities after when the 3 years
he has played, Reggie.
When did he play?
But he played in the last qualifying round. That's where we think research. But that's where I think.
Oh, I gotta research that.
That's where I think we're having an issue. Is because I do believe Gareth Southgate cap tied him. Sorry, before the other one, before the last round.
That's why I didn't want to say anything. So I gotta do the research.
Yeah, we gotta check that out. Let us know. Yell at us. Tell us. Yeah. Let us know. But absolutely, wouldn't it be incredible?
He wouldn't come off the field, Joe.
No, of course not. What a piece he would be for us, right? And if somehow it can happen, and we're not reading into the right way, please, oh my gosh, let it happen yesterday. if a guy tomorrow would be great.
Well, maybe we can get Bontis on, and he can tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm glad Reggie mentioned, you know, president of Canada Soccer, Nick Bonas, who has been an amazing supporter of us. We're going to shout out Nick here. Nick has given us a couple of messages here and there on social media throughout the last, you know, year and a bit, a couple of times. And we thank you, Nick, because that's amazing that, you know, you talk about what – I'm glad you mentioned them, Reggie, because we talked about who deserves credit. Canada Soccer, Nick Bonas, sure. All those people involved. 100%. They do, because you know what? Nick has reached out to us, you know, our little podcast, right? Doing our little thing. And he was very gracious and giving us a lot of, you know, kudos and credit. And you know what? We would love to have Nick on. We still want to have, how about Dino Rossi? Long overdue from League One Ontario. Yeah. And Dino, you know, congratulations to you too, Dino Rossi and Nick Bonas, because you guys giving our young players a platform. And wasn't it amazing to see, okay, yes, Nick with Canada Soccer in Costa Rica. What about Dino Rossi with League One Ontario? So, you know, shout out to these guys because, you know, the passion that they have too for this game. And you talk about not just players, not just coaches. How about people running leagues and stuff like that? So Dino Rossi and people at League One Ontario and so on. Amazing, fantastic. So congratulations to you guys too. Is it like a celebration tour today? Yeah, it is, because this is an amazing feat, Reggie. It's
No one's gonna blame you.
No, it was great. It was amazing to see, and of course, the day of the snow and all that was fitting. It was good. So
Joel, we qualified for the World Cup. We played some.
Say
of the
that
best,
again.
We qualified for the World Cup. We played some of our best football. I still say Costa Rica, we still should have won that. We played fantastic in Costa Rica. We beat Jamaica. We, you know, the teams that we usually have problems with in places and go to their fields and have problems there. It was easy. We've done the business with arguably our best player out of the lineup.
Oh, absolutely. Dynamic player.
Well, exactly. What do you attribute to that? Like, when he comes back, are we going to be Alphonso Davies focused again? Because I think the team kind of picked it up individually and says, okay, well, we got to pick up for what Alphonso does for us. We all each have to dig in a little bit more and do a little bit more, and it works. So what happens when Alphonso comes back in?
Well, with all due respect, I think Alphonso comes in and plays. We need him. Like, yeah, we need him more need than. Him. Yeah. So, yeah, no, but I'm saying what happens? I mean, Alphonso plays in many different spots. He will affect the game tremendously. I think anybody who was playing ahead of him will welcome him back, too. I think just what he allows us to do, you know, going forward, not only just going forward in the future, but literally going forward on the football field, makes us even more dangerous. Do I think that there was a sense of, hey, I gotta, you know, was there a sense of we can get this done without him? I think that's what you're saying too. Yes, I do. I think so.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah.
I 100% believe
that. Was a personal challenge, right? And I mean, look at his passion. I mean, we all saw the clips of him watching on Twitch and so on. I mean, Alphonso just makes things different for us. We just both said, you know, it was kind of a personal, an added motivation. Hey, we can do this without Fonzie. And to say, hey, Fonzie, we want to do this for you. How about that?
Right.
I think that was the one thing missing from the celebration. It was great to see Alphonso Davies on Twitch, of course, but it would have been absolutely, I was thinking it was going to be like, you know, old WWE when he comes out of the ring, you know, he comes out, I'm here.
With the smoke, no, but, and all the smoke and the fireworks.
Yeah, that's right. So I just thought, you know, to have, it's almost like, you know, I knew you could do it without me kind of deal, kind of moment, right? So I was very, very proud, to, you know, and looking at Alphonso Davies, what he's meant for this group. I mean, it's funny that one of the younger guys gives us so much confidence. So when he comes back, I just think it makes us even more, we know, it makes us even more, you know, of a threat. Just wanting to see him get back is going to be a massive lift even more for this team. You know, I think it's actually an added bonus that it'll be November in terms of the Alphonso Davies things, Reggie, because if you think about it, what if it was What if it was just now? Or I mean, it would have been, the qualifying would have been done in November. Yeah. I think if things were different, right? Yeah. Right, and it would have been the summer. So maybe it buys Fonzie some time. But I mean, Reggie, the most iconic moment in qualifying we were there for. Were we not? Actually, no. To be fair, I mean, the USA, the Mexico. There's other ones. USA. We're biased because we were there when we saw Fonzie take the ball on the sideline. Yeah. Just because of the awe of what he did, it was incredible. How much ground he made up, right, Reggie?
Yeah, and how fast he got there.
That's what we're saying. Like that was just an insane, demonstration of athleticism. Ability and so on. Of course, the games in Edmonton, the game at Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton were, can you beat that? Incredible.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what stood out for me. And I don't know. There's so much emotion that they've shown and so many amazing things that happened that can you still believe it? I still can't believe it.
It's incredible, Joe. It's amazing. I 80th minute, I had my head in my hands. Like, I can't believe this. This is incredible.
I can't believe it.
If I had champagne, I would have popped it.
Yeah, it was actually and to do it handily was something too. It was just a great moment. It was, and again, to see a couple of players that we know personally, and to be involved and to be on that field, and there are moments when I think of. These young men, and it makes, someone said this to a lot of people have been saying how, if you've ever, coached or whatever, it should be part of it. I think so, because at the end of the day, we should all be looking to feed that one thing. That should be the goal, right? The winning should be at the highest level, right? And everyone else involved, it should be about developing, teaching the game in the proper way. So these young men, and anybody involved have really, really transcended the sport, which is great. The whole nation is behind them, and it's only going to get better. Like, think of all the, the hoopla that's going to come from it, and it's great. The corporate sponsorship, the money. I think, forgetting for qualifying, you get $14-15 million just from FIFA, right, or something like that. So that's a bonus. That's a great thing to have. This could be a really transitional, foundational, trigger for this program going forward.
100%. 100%. There's a lot of things that go into qualifying for a World Cup, and none more important than the money you get for doing that. So that should bode well for the, I keep calling it the federation, association, I should say.
Yeah.
So for sure.
Yeah. So we talked about, we were celebrating today. We were happy about this. We're absolutely over the moon. We're looking forward to the draw. We've kind of said which teams we'd like to see and so on. I can't believe, Reggie, I was thinking this today. I said, I can't believe we're actually going to be doing a show one day where we're going to preview the World Cup. We're going to preview the groups of death. We're going to do that. And we're going to actually make predictions on Canada in the World Cup. Like, just think of that, how mind blowing that is.
Exactly.
And how, and it believed. And that's what I can't wait to see. Like, we're going to be looking at groups, because when the groups come out, leading up to World Cups and major competitions, you have all these ideas of how it's going to go down. The very fact that we're going to be hopefully prognosticating on games where Canada is in is mind blowing. So, a great moment. And one of many to come, the start of many to come. So, think of the preparation, the games to lead up to it. I know Reggie likes this as much as me, the gear, everything like that, the jerseys, friendly matches before, again, predictions, game watching parties, people going to Qatar. Like, so it's only the beginning. And if you're just, whether you're just catching this train or you've been on it forever, everybody is welcome, and it's okay, right? We're one, and we're Canada, and that is a fantastic thing to be a part of.
It's funny you mentioned that going to Qatar. I actually looked up tickets yesterday, see how much they were.
I think you were. I think you weren't alone. So
it's
what did you get? $2,000.
Yeah, that's a pricey trip, and then the tickets and all that stuff. But it's not going to be a once in a lifetime. If they weren't hosting the World Cup, I would probably find a way to get down there. But in 2026, when we're in it here on our home soil, I'll be going to pretty much every game, no matter where it is. So. Yeah,
right.
I don't think I can make it to Qatar, but I can make it to Edmonton or Montreal and definitely Toronto. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, that's a lot. That's a Canada wrap up.
Canada wrap up. So, yeah, again, we want to thank all of you guys for your continued support. We're getting so much support from you guys. I want to shout out Max, who continues to do a great thing at Soccer Max, and Ross, too. Reggie and I will be passing by there this Saturday, possibly. So we'll keep a post on our social media about that. Remember, any shoe that you buy, $5 goes to an amazing, amazing cause, the Jody Forno Foundation, part of the Vaughan Soccer Club for grassroots and young players. We talked about Nick Vaughnis, always giving us love and support. Thank you. We've mentioned, you know, Dino Rossi at League One Ontario. How about continuous support from our young fans and fans all over? We're going to be doing something. Our social media stuff is going to be taking another jolt soon. We're going to be announcing that, and you know, a couple guys helping us out with that, which is great. And those guys, you know, that would listen to our show, shout out to a lot of my former players in a high school situation, but you know, Christian Mazuka, thank you, for listening, and a lot of other guys who, younger dudes, Reggie, some young guys. Who knew? We had appeal to the young guys.
I used to play with his dad and his uncle, the Mazuka.
There you go. And that's why I was going to lead into that. Yeah. There you go. So thank you to those guys. And you guys know who you are. Thank you. But Mazuka and the crew there. And we'll mention you guys as we go on. But thank you, because it's you guys who are loyal listeners that just tell us, hey, you should talk about this. You know, hey, I heard you guys say this. We really like your stuff. And we appreciate that, because without you guys, there is no Football Weekly podcast. You know, I've noticed we've had a lot of more international, you know, followers and guys congratulating us, Red, for Canada making the World Cup. It was amazing. Exactly, yeah. So thank you to all of you. And, you know, you guys make it worth it. And like I just said, and Reggie always takes us home, so I'm going to let Reggie take us home. But, you know, this World Cup, this Canadian situation is all of ours. Let's enjoy it and let's continue to grow the game, because it's why we fell in love with it. We love this game, and to have our country in it, finally, all of our country, like all of us with one thing to follow, is pretty special.
Yep, the game was grown, and look where we are. So I love it. I love it. So guys, you should be able to find our podcast everywhere. But if you don't know where to find it, I'll let you know. We're on Spotify. We are on Apple Music. We are on iHeartRadio. We are on every platform you get your podcasts on. We are still on YouTube. We're going to be setting that back up in a couple
Very
of weeks
soon.
Or
yep.
so. A
couple of weeks. Yep.
We'll be back on YouTube doing the shows, thinking about doing some live shows, getting some live chat going on, so you guys can talk to us while we're doing the show. You can ask us some questions and we can discuss whatever you want. We're in the talks for that. Like Joe said, our social media is going to be being taken over by somebody, so look out for that as well. Big things coming with the change of the weather. The start of the seasons are coming. Joe, I'm so excited to go to Soccer Max. My shoes came in, Joe. My shoes came in.
I know. That's what I mean. So we'll be there this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely be there this weekend. So guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.